Hello and welcome to the Crisis Point Podcast. I'm Eric Sammons, your host and the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Today we're going to talk about the subject of Father James Altman, what's been happening with him, but also how Catholics, as Catholics, we should react to that, what we should think about that, maybe some of the issues involved that I think maybe not everybody's talking about, because often in these subjects what happens is everybody gets on one side or the other, and I feel like there's some issues with both sides, so to speak. Not trying to be the guy who sits on the middle of the fence, but I do think there's issues for both Father Altman's supporters and his detractors to consider. Now, before I get into that, I just want to encourage you to like and subscribe to this podcast wherever you're watching it or listening to it. It helps other people find out about it, and so tell others about it and make sure you subscribe to it. Okay, also, since this is live on YouTube, those who are watching this live on YouTube, feel free to ask questions during it. I probably won't get to the answering the questions till the end, but if you have any, go ahead and put it into the chat session, and then I'll try to address it at some point. Okay, so like I said, we are going to talk about Father James Altman. He has been the news, the Catholic news, I should say, for the past almost a year now. And so first, what I want to do is go through what's happened with Father Altman, so everybody's up to speed on that, and then talk about maybe some issues surrounding that. So first of all, Father Altman, he is a priest of the Diocese of La Crosse, and he came to prominence when a video was shown, went viral, of him essentially saying, you cannot be Catholic and Democrat. And this, of course, was in the height of the campaign, presidential campaign of 2020. It was Joe Biden, obviously, is running for president, and he claims to be Catholic. And so this was a big deal. Now, the reason he made that statement that you can't be Catholic and be Democrat is because, primarily because, the Democratic Party supports abortion on demand without apology. And so obviously, if you support the Democratic Party, you're supporting, in essence, abortion on demand. And so Father Altman was making the argument that you can't do that as a good Catholic. And I think he has a very valid point. Now, like I said, this video went viral and lots of people were watching it and talking about it. And so his bishop, Bishop Callahan, William Callahan, I believe his name is, he issued a statement that basically said he's going to look into this. He thinks there's some issues. And he is a quote from him. This is back in September when he first came out with a statement about Father Altman's video. He said, the undeniable truth that motivates his message, he understands that when we approach issues that are contrary to the faith and teachings of Jesus Christ in the Catholic Church, particularly on abortion and other life issues. Okay, so when we talk about these things, about abortion and life issues, the bishop says, we should invite dialogue and heartfelt conversion to the truth. Our approach must never seek to divide, isolate, and condemn. Now, those of you who have read my book, Deadly Indifference, you'll know what my opinion is of dialogue and how Catholics conceive of dialogue today. When he says our approach must never seek to divide, isolate, or condemn. Okay, first of all, our Lord himself explicitly said he came to divide. He didn't come to bring peace, but he came to bring division. And so it's simply not true and not Catholic to think that we should never seek to divide. Sometimes we should seek to divide. We seek to divide truth from falsehood. We seek to divide good from evil. And so just the fact that he thinks Father Altman was seeking to division shouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. I mean, there's a lot of legitimate reasons to seek division. It brings about clarity. He also then went on to say, that being said, it's not only the underlying message, underlying truth that needs to be evaluated, but also the manner of delivery and the tone of his message. Unfortunately, the tone Father Altman offers comes off as angry and judgmental, lacking any charity, in a way that causes scandal both in the church and in society. And he says, I pray that Father Altman's heart and eyes might be open to the error of his ways, and he might take steps to correct his behavior and heal the wound that he has inflicted on the body of Christ. I mean, that is really strong language for a priest who basically had a video go viral on him. To my understanding, he had no plans to make this video viral. It went viral on where he basically just says, abortion is evil. We can't support it. And yeah, maybe some of the ways he said it wouldn't be the way your typical bishop would say it, but that's okay. And actually, though, mentioning that, Bishop Strickland of Tyler, Texas, came out in full support of Father Altman. And so this language that he inflicted a wound on the body of Christ is so over the top, based upon the fact that we have priests like Father James Martin running around, spouting off heresy, encouraging people to destructive lifestyles. And we have, I mean, just in your typical diocese, every diocese has a lot of priests who are really problematic, and that's saying it diplomatically, that essentially they're heretics, essentially they're doing a terrible job as priests. Nothing is ever said of that, but this somehow is inflicting a wound on the body of Christ. So then after this happened, so this is back in August, September of 2020, then Father Altman essentially went on almost a speaking tour. I'm not trying to say it to denigrate Father Altman. I'm just simply saying that he went on the speaker circuit in the sense that he was on lots of podcasts, he gave lots of talks, and he was very much kept himself in the forefront. And again, the way I'm wording this, I'm not trying to denigrate him, I'm simply stating what happened. And he started to speak on a lot of subjects because lots of people were very interested in what Father Altman thought. I mean, that's just a fact that many, many Catholics wanted to hear what Father Altman thought about a lot of stuff. So he talked about everything from obviously abortion. He brought up women preaching, how that shouldn't happen. He talked about the Breonna Taylor killing. He talked about January 6th, what happened on that day. And he really talked a lot about COVID. He was very much opposed to the restrictions put on by the Catholic Church on related to COVID. And I think, honestly, I think that's probably one of the biggest things that got him in trouble was because of the fact that he spoke against COVID. And that's something COVID restrictions. And that's simply something you cannot do in today's Catholic Church and expect to be in good standing with your bishop, because they have definitely hunkered down and said, there's no way that we can apologize for the terrible job we did last year when it came to COVID restrictions. And so Father Altman was calling them out on it. And so finally in May of this year, Father Altman revealed that the bishop had asked him to resign. And he said that the reason he asked him to resign was because I am divisive and ineffective, is what Father Altman said. Now, the ineffective, I never heard that from the bishop himself, but Father Altman says that's what he said, and I believe it. And so essentially that, and Bishop Callahan did publish a statement in May saying he did ask him to resign, but Father Altman refused. And note, at this point, he was being asked to resign. So he's not disobeying his bishop or anything like that. And so anyway, then the diocese said that the bishop will respond in accordance with the canonical process as needed for the removal of priests from his office of pastor. So essentially, he said right there in May, I'm going to remove him. I'm going to remove him from office. And then finally, just a few days ago, actually, he was suspended. Father Altman was suspended by his bishop, Bishop Callahan. And what was interesting is he suspended, you know, he's not the pastor anymore of his parish. He's suspended from saying mass publicly. He's also suspended from performing baptisms. So he's been suspended from essentially being a priest publicly. And the what's interesting is that in the statement, the official decree where he suspended Father Altman, the bishop did not actually say why he was being suspended. And so we're just left to kind of assume it has to do with the fact that he doesn't like what Father Altman's saying. He thinks based upon what he said originally, he thinks it's divisive, not the right tone, all those type of things. And so essentially, though, what's happened is Father Altman has been suspended. Now, one thing, before I get into this a little bit more of Father Altman specifically, this reminds me of an incident from about 8-9 years ago now. Father Marcel Garnizo was the priest back in 2012, I think it was, who denied communion to a practicing lesbian at a Catholic funeral. And the reason I thought of that is because I actually know Father Marcel. He was the priest who gave my son his first communion, because I was at the parish where Father Marcel was stationed as associate pastor. And I had moved, though, about 6 months to a year before the incident in question with the lesbian, denying communion to lesbian occurred. That, if you remember, was a firestorm. This is the Archdiocese of Washington. Cardinal Wuerl was the archbishop at that time. And man, did they come down hard on Father Marcel. I mean, they just came I mean, it was ridiculous how quickly they moved to remove him from ministry. In fact, it only took 2 weeks before they suspended him from ministry. But what was interesting about that is when they announced the suspension, they actually had the gall, the diocese had the gall to say had nothing to do with the fact that he had denied the lesbian communion, even though the auxiliary bishop had made a statement saying that he shouldn't have done that. When it came out, they basically said, the issue discussed this week did not have to do with the distribution of communion 2 weeks ago. Let me repeat that. This is what his pastor said at the time when they announced that he was being suspended. The issue discussed this week, meaning his suspension, did not have to do with the distribution of communion 2 weeks ago. The issue pertains to actions over the past week or so. Now, I know they think we're stupid. I know they think we're stupid, but we're not that stupid. We know it had everything to do and only to do with the fact that it gave bad press to the archdiocese that he denied a lesbian communion. And in today's Catholic Church, the worst thing you can do is to do anything that might be somewhat negative towards homosexuals, lesbians, gays, LGBT, whatever you want to call them. I mean, after all, look, the other Father James Martin, he's at the top of the list of number one priests in the Catholic Church today. I mean, the Vatican thinks he's great. The archbishops of the United States think he's great, all because he promotes LGBT issues. Father James Altman, on the other hand, not so much. But back then, Father Marcel was kicked out quickly because of the fact that he denied a lesbian communion. But they tried to make it like that wasn't the reason. Like we're so idiotic that we would think that we'd believe that. And I think it's similar here with what's happening to Father Altman, that it's all because of the fact that he's saying things that are not on the 3x5 card of allowable opinion in the Catholic Church. He's saying the COVID restrictions were wrong. He's saying that you cannot vote for pro-abortion politicians, that the Democratic Party in and of itself is evil because of its support for abortion, plus a million other things. And other things that just simply aren't politically correct. I mean, he talks about the January 6th insurrection. I put that in quotes because there, of course, was no insurrection on January 6th. He talks about that in a way that's not in keeping with the mainstream narrative. And so ultimately, we know that's what's happening. It has nothing to do, I'm sure. I mean, you know, I'm sure there could be an explanation more than this, but I highly doubt it has anything to do with his actions as a pastor or anything about being ineffective or anything like that. It all has to do with the fact that he's not on the train that says that's going in the direction if we have to go along with the world, we can't say anything too controversial. And so therefore the bishop has suspended him. Now let's talk a little bit about what this means and our reaction to it, how Catholics should react to it, at least how I see it. First of all, I noticed that whenever a bishop suspends a priest, the first thing that comes out of the mouths of so many Catholics is he has to obey. And that's all they want to talk about is whether or not Father Altman or whoever the priest in this situation will be, whether or not he will obey. And yes, there is very true that a priest takes a vow of obedience to his superior, to his bishop in this case. And so therefore the bishop does have the authority to suspend priests that he feels are not in line with what he believes is the best way to practice the ministry of priesthood. And so, yes, it is true. However, we have such a distorted view of obedience today in the Catholic world. Obedience is a two-sided coin, and we only want to look at one side. The two-sided coin of obedience is, on the one hand, the duty to obey legitimate orders from your superior. Now, obviously, that differs between a priest and a layperson, because as a layperson, I don't have a religious superior in the sense that a priest does. So I don't have a vow of obedience I've given to my bishop. At the same time, I do have a certain obligation to follow my bishop and to follow the Pope as a Catholic, but I don't have the same level of obedience that a priest does. But a priest makes his vow of obedience. That's one side of the coin, and it's an important side of the coin, but it's not the only side. On the other side is the duty, the obligation, the responsibility of the superior to give just commands. And for some reason, we only want to focus on the fact that you have to obey. we don't want to focus on the duty of the superior to give just commands. And so even though you could argue that Father Altman in this situation needs to obey the order of the superior, and to my knowledge, we're doing this on July 13th, so it's been about 4 days or so since the suspension came down. To my knowledge, he hasn't claimed that he's going to disobey it or anything. Father Altman hasn't said anything. And if he has, please somebody else let me know. But the point is that we have every right as laity. Well, first of all, Father Altman has every right as a priest and under canon law to fight this command, to fight the suspension through all the legal means within the Catholic Church, through canon law. He has a right to fight this. And we should not all question that right, nor should we ever suspect him of not being properly obedient, if he does fight it. There's nothing in Catholic theology that would say a priest does not have a right to go through the canonical process necessary to appeal a suspension like this. That's the way the Catholic Church is set up, and the way canon law is set up. A priest has every right to do that. And so therefore, we should defend that right of Father Altman. We should not denigrate him if he decides to fight against the suspension. There's nothing against obedience in his vow of obedience about doing that. Secondly, we as lay people, we have every right to do everything we can to protest this suspension. I mean, if you're a Catholic in the Diocese of La Crosse, there is absolutely nothing stopping you if you want to protest it at the cathedral, to write letters, to do, you know, protest at the parish, I think it's St. James Parish, where he was pastor. You have every right to do that. And there's nothing non-Catholic or anti-Catholic or un-Catholic about that. That is completely our right. In fact, what it does is it shows an understanding of these two sides of the virtue of obedience, that both the duty to obey legitimate orders, but also the duty to of the superior to give legitimate orders, to actually give what are legitimate orders. And so I really think that's something we need to remember, is that Father Altman has a right to challenge this suspension, and we have every right to make our views known, to protest that we think this is an unjust suspension. That, because the truth is, people have said, well, there's things behind the scenes. The bishop has made a public suspension here. He has told the whole world that Father Altman is not fit to be a Catholic priest. He has that is sullying the name of Father Altman. And so he has the duty to say the reason why. He didn't even give the reason why. Now, we have reasons to believe it's simply he thinks he's divisive. He thinks he's using poor form or whatever the case may be. But the bishop hasn't actually said what the reason is. And so because of that, he's put Father Altman's name, his reputation on the line, and he's denigrated it. So we have every right to fight against it. Now, if he comes out with some statement that shows some other reasons why Father Altman, some legitimate reason Father Altman has been suspended, fine. We can then deal with that situation. But that's not what we're talking about here. He has basically said he's not fit to be a Catholic priest because of the fact that he said some things that the bishop didn't like. Okay. Now, all that being said, obviously, at this point, I've been very pro-Father Altman. I'm still pro-Father Altman. I'm not going to say anything against him in particular. But I do have some concerns kind of on the other side, so to speak. I find that as Catholics, we are desperate for good shepherds. I mean, we are starving in the desert and for good shepherds. And so any shepherd, any priest, any bishop who shows even the slightest hint of orthodoxy, of courage, most particularly, we cling to him and we flock to him. And I get that and I understand that, because the fact of the matter is that almost all our bishops are terrible. I mean, that's just a fact. Like, the best bishops probably would get a D-minus grade these days, in America at least. Most of our priests are uninspiring. They're not courageous at all. They just go along with whatever they're told to do. And they're not willing to speak out against the true evils in the church today and in the world today. I mean, there's so many priests are like that. We've all encountered them. And so when somebody like Father Altman comes around, or Bishop Schneider or Bishop Vigano or somebody like that, we quickly jump to them and we embrace them and we make them out to be heroes. And in a certain way, they are, because they're being courageous. They're heroically saying what needs to be said when the whole world, the whole church is going against them. And so I very much think I understand that. And I think it's a legitimate response of Catholics to do that. However, I do think there are a couple problems with that, that can arise out of this kind of celebrity cleric, celebrity priest, celebrity bishop mentality. Now, I want to say real quick that Father Altman has been on all these shows. He's been very public about this. And I don't think, and I know a lot of people criticize him for that. A lot of Catholics criticize him, say he should have kept his mouth shut. However, I don't think there is a specific way that you're supposed to respond to this. I mean, what was he supposed to do? If he stayed quiet, perhaps would he have not been suspended? Yeah, that could have happened. But at the same time, his conscience was telling him that he needed to speak out about these issues. And so was he supposed to just deny his conscience and say, no, I can't talk about this? Because it's not like things he was saying. He's not preaching heresy. Nobody's even claimed he's preached heresy. I mean, the bishop has never claimed that. He's preaching both, first of all, Catholic truth, like about abortion, and also prudential things that priests should be allowed to talk about, like the COVID restrictions, arguing against us. I mean, heck, we have all these priests who are masking up and telling us all about how we have to, like, if we love our neighbor, we're going to get the vax and all that stuff. That's their prudential judgment. They're allowed to say that. Why can't a priest prudentially be allowed to say that I think all this stuff is crap? I think all these restrictions are stupid. And all these other topics as well. And so he could have been silent, but I don't think that's necessarily like the only route he could take and the only legitimate Catholic route. I think it is okay for him. It could be okay for him to speak out. That being said, though, there is a real danger in that. The danger is pride. The danger is becoming loving the sound of your own voice. I'm not accusing Father Altman of that, but we've all seen priests who have done this in the past. I mean, Father Carapi is just the first example that comes to mind for me. So we've seen this happen in the past with priests. They get they love the sound of their own voice, and they really start to think they are above others. It becomes a clericalism with them. And we saw this. I mean, there's other priests, the priest who was over HLI had some issues. There's other priests that this has happened to. And so it is a real danger. And so we should be praying for Father Altman that he doesn't fall into that danger. So I think, though, that's something, though, as Catholics, we need to understand that we shouldn't be too quick to celebritize the courageous priests or bishops. We should recognize that they're still men who are fallible. They're not always perfect. And that leads me to the second issue I think can happen. Because of the fractured Catholic Church we live in today, which is frankly the fault of the heretics and the liberals and those who are saying all these terrible things, that's the reason we have fractures in the church, the reason we have division in the church. It's not because two equal sides just happen to be arguing with each other. No, there's one side that's right, one side that's wrong. But what happens, though, is because of that, we take a side very quickly and we're unwilling to criticize those on our own side. And so therefore, I think it's okay to say, yeah, Father Altman, maybe you shouldn't be doing this. Maybe you shouldn't be saying these things. Like, maybe you should, at this point, be holding back on some of the more extraneous issues, like, you know, the Breonna Taylor killing or what happened on January 6th, something like that, and focus only on the most important topics, which is abortion, the COVID restrictions, maybe something like that. Just and focus on that. Maybe turn down some of those things. I think it's okay to think that. I think it's okay to have that opinion. And express that. That's not saying all of a sudden you think Father Altman's a bad priest or that you're on the side of Bishop Callahan or anything like that. It's simply saying nobody's perfect. And you know, hopefully people around people who are close to Father Altman would also be willing to tell him, hey, maybe you shouldn't do this. Maybe you shouldn't do that. Don't be too quick to jump into the limelight. And as Catholics, our standard ultimately has to be Jesus Christ. That's our standard, not the terrible shepherds we have now. Because what happens is we grow on this incredible curve. Most of our shepherds, most of our bishops get a failing grade. And so when one shepherd or a priest or a bishop gets a C or a B or something like that, we act like, okay, now they're the greatest thing ever. But maybe they have issues too. And so the point here is that our model is Jesus Christ. And if anybody falls short of that, they should be open to criticism. That includes me, that includes you, priests, bishops, laity, everybody. We shouldn't put anybody on a pedestal and be unwilling to criticize them. And so it's totally fine to criticize Father Altman if you want. for things you think prudentially he did wrong. I mean, because again, he has not said anything against Catholic dogma. He hasn't said anything against the truths of the Catholic faith. And so I think it's completely legitimate to criticize him if you want to. And so ultimately, what do we need to do as Catholics? I think we need to encourage more priests to speak out and be courageous. Yes, what's happening here with the Father Altman situation is that priests are seeing what happens when you step out. You get canceled. You get suspended. And no priest wants to get suspended. They became a priest in order to bring the sacraments to the people because they have a love for the people. And so to be suspended is the worst thing for a priest to happen to a priest. And so this has an incredible silencing effect on our priests when bishops do this, when they unjustly suspend a priest like Bishop Altman. I'm sorry, Father Altman. I just made him a bishop. And so what we need to do is really encourage our priests, pray for them, fast for them, but encourage them to be willing to still step out, be willing to say the truth, be willing to tell others about it, be courageous and be willing to go against maybe the status quo in the Catholic Church, because frankly, the status quo is terrible right now. And so speaking out against abortion, speaking out against the COVID restrictions, speaking out against the heresy of people like Father James Martin and people like that, that's what our priests need to be doing, because we're never going to get out of this crisis until priests really step up and do that, and hopefully bishops do as well. The problem, of course, is we've made it very easy. We've made it very scary for them to do that. So they need to know we have their back, that we will fight for them. And so hopefully the Catholics of La Crosse are fighting for Father Altman. There's been a lot of money raised for him. And I know people have called that into question, money being raised for him. But everything I've seen has shown that he's using it for his legal defense or donating it to other causes. It's not like he's buying a mansion. Now, if that happens, then we quickly should jump and say, no, that's wrong, and not act like that's okay to do. But from everything I've seen no indication that he's been financially mismanaging his funds. So the donations, but I think we need to support our priests like Father Altman without putting them on a pedestal above really where they should be, knowing Christ is the only one up there, and be willing to fight for this. So that's it for really today. I wanted to talk about was this issue. And so I just encourage us again, Catholics, support priests being courageous, pray and fast for them, do everything you can to support them, call out when people are not, when bishops are giving unjust commands, be willing to call them out. And yes, also, you know, priests do need to be obedient to their legitimate superiors, but we need to defend their right to appeal those commands through canon law, through the church, and hopefully pray and fast that the right result will happen. Okay, so like I said, I think I'm going to call it right there. Pray for Father Altman. Pray for all those priests who have been canceled. My next podcast will be about canceled priests and about the fact that bishops are canceling priests for no good reason. So we're going to talk about that some more. So pray for your priest, fast for your priest, pray for your bishop, fast for your bishops. Until next time, God love you.